Walter Chu to come on up. We've had him speak a couple times here, and man, I just love working with him, and really appreciate him. So yeah, thanks for coming up.
Sounds good. Yes, I don't have a microphone.
Oh, okay.
So I'll take this microphone.
Okay.
Sounds good. Thanks so much, Ross. Thanks so much. How's everybody doing? Great. So for those who, so really quick, hey, Pastor Ross, what's the timeline that we, like, how much time do we normally end the service by? I want to make sure I honor you guys.
11:15.
Okay.
What time the service ends, or what time?
Oh, what time do I end? Yes. 11:15? Okay, great. Perfect. Thanks so much, Pastor Ross. So for those who don't know, my name is Walter. This is my family right here. So Lisa, Caleb Oliver, our little ones, Evander. We do have a ministry team. If you guys could just stand up really quick, I want to introduce you guys. Gerard and Judy in the back. We've got Rebecca. Zenaida's here. She's going to observe. Andre's there. He's going to be taking the helm a little bit. And so we're part of a ministry called Be Known Movement. We're all about just following Jesus, wanting to just follow his heartbeat. And just a really big one is wanting to raise people up into a revival lifestyle and identity. And so our heart is to be able to trust Jesus for the impossible and to be able to see us walk into this identity that says, man, Jesus is so worthy. He is so worthy, and he is so much bigger than any kind of life that we live here on this earth. Amen. Does that make sense, you guys? So anyways, I do want to take a moment. I do want to invite my ministry team up in a moment to go ahead and just pray over us and minister to some of you folks here. But I've been hearing that God's been doing some really fun things inside your guys' families recently, huh? So just hearing about the impossible, seeing the Holy Spirit do amazing things in each person, and just bringing healing in all sorts of different ways. And so anyways, I want to try to come alongside that a little bit more just to sow into you guys and to just love on you guys. And so if you have your Bibles, can you turn with me to Mark 2? Can you turn with me to Mark 2? There's been a lot of things going on, I think, just in the church culture in general, in our communities. And, you know, the more that I talk with people, I do feel like the Lord wants to birth something really new. And so that's been something that our group has been going through. Like, what does it look like as the Lord's birthing things new? What does it look like for us to prepare our hearts for that? What does it look like to be aware of what God is doing, be aware of how the kingdom is moving, how it shakes you know, our soul, our spirit, and how do we prepare for God to move intimately in us in such a way that it actually affects everything else around us. And so with that said, I'm going to pray for us, and I'm going to dive a little bit into this message. And so Jesus, thank you so much for this word, and thank you so much for my friends here, God. Thank you for everyone who, some of these folks, you know, meeting them for the first time. Some of them I've been walking with. Some of them I've known forever. And so, Lord, I just want to thank you, God, for pouring just so many different, catalytic moments, divine appointments, just your heartbeat, your revelation, Lord Jesus. Thank you so much. And I want to pray whatever's of me, may it fall to the ground. But whatever's of you, Lord, may it resonate in people's hearts. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, so I want to talk about the realm of faith. I feel like faith is being highlighted. In the pre-prayer rally, we were also talking about fire and rain. So I'm excited. How many of you guys love those terms? You're like, yeah, fire, yeah, rain. Okay, some of you guys, maybe y'all are thinking like, what is this? Right? Either way, I want to just invite you guys to join us for the journey. I promise you it is fun. I promise you it is exciting. And God absolutely loves you in this whole thing. And so anyways, Mark 2, we're going to read this first pericope. And it'll be on the screen here. And I'll go ahead and read it out. So it says, a few days later, when Jesus again entered Capernaum, the people heard that he had come home. They gathered in such large numbers that there was no room left, not even outside the door. And he preached the word to them. Some men came, bringing to him a paralyzed man carried by four of them. Since they could not get him to Jesus because of the crowd, they made an opening in the roof above Jesus by digging through it and then lowered the mat the man was lying on. When Jesus saw their faith, he said to the paralyzed man, "Son, your sins are forgiven." Now, some teachers of the law were sitting there thinking to themselves, "Why does this fellow talk like that? He's blaspheming. Who can forgive sins but God alone?" Immediately, Jesus knew in his spirit that this was what they were thinking in their hearts, and he said to them, "Why are you thinking these things? Which is easier to say to this paralyzed man, 'Your sins are forgiven,' or to say, 'Get up, take your mat, and walk'? But I want you to know that the Son of Man has authority on earth to forgive sins." So he said to the man, "I'll tell you, get up, take your mat, and go home." He got up, took his mat, and walked out in full view of them all. This amazed everyone, and they praised God, saying, "We have never seen anything like this." So how many of you guys, wow, what an amazing passage, right? We see Jesus looking at this whole atmosphere, forgiving the sins of this guy, and then all of a sudden, bam, in full view of them all, he gets up, takes his mat, and walk. And so how many of you guys want to see miraculous things happen in your lives, right? Yeah, I love that. Hey, let's go. Okay, let's go, Jesus. Let's go, Jesus, right? I want to talk about what does that actually look like, why we hunger for that kind of stuff, and what is faith tied to all of this. And so, anyways, there's three audiences that I really want to highlight in today's message. I want to highlight what does it look like for the people who lowered this person down. What does it look like actually for the Pharisees? Because he actually talks to the Pharisees quite a bit. And what does it look like for this actual person who was on the mat? All right? And so if we can actually go back to the beginning part of this passage, and it says this in verse 1, right? It says, "A few days later, when Jesus again entered Capernaum, the people heard that he had come home. They gathered in such large numbers that there was no room left, not even outside the door, and he preached the word to them. Some men came, bringing to him a paralyzed man carried by four of them. Since they could not get him to Jesus because of the crowd, they made an opening in the roof above Jesus by digging through it and then lowered the man, the mat the man was lying on." I'm sure some of us would be like, "Do not do it when it's raining." Okay? Like, I don't know how to explain this to my insurance company right now. So please, please. So anyways, they lowered it down, and it says, when Jesus saw their faith, he said to the paralyzed man, "Son, your sins are forgiven." So there's this huge thing that goes on. "Son, your sins are forgiven" is right away the first thing that Jesus says. We're going to talk about that in a minute, but I want to talk about this. This is my first point, is your faith is powerful. I want you to turn to your neighbor, and I want you to tell them, your faith is powerful. Your faith is powerful. Now, here's one of the, actually, I want you to do this. I want you to look at that person. I want you to say, "Your faith is powerful, my friend. Your faith is powerful, my friend." All right? And look them in the eyes. You know, you might not have seen them before, but hey, we're all brothers and sisters in Christ here. We're all friends, okay? And hey, even if they're strangers and you've never been to church before, hey, guess what? We consider you family enemies anyways, right? How many of you guys think that, yeah? No matter what, you're family here. Now, here's the funny part. I don't know the relationship that these four men had with this paralyzed man, okay? But I'm assuming that, you know, at the very least, it would be that of a friendship. I would very much believe that all of us, the fact that we're like, "Hey, we just want to consider you family, regardless of whether we know you or not," I think that's a pretty solid foundation for the lens of Jesus. Does that make sense? That, like, Jesus wants to see everyone as family. Now, the reason why I say I'm not sure of the relationship that these people had, we assume that they're friends, is because of this. When you look at the situation, at the very bottom, it says, when Jesus saw their faith, he said to the paralyzed man, "Son, your sins are forgiven." Jesus didn't look at the faith of the paralyzed man. Jesus saw the faith. He saw their faith. We don't even know if they're friends. He saw the faith of the four people who lowered this man down the roof. Now, I want to be really careful here because, you know, I remember when I was a part of, I was doing a training program a long time ago, and I do believe this is true. The guest speaker had said, you know, a person's will is the hardest thing to pray for. Because, you know, ultimately it's between you and the Lord on whether you choose to receive Jesus as your Lord and Savior. Does that make sense? Right? But I think somehow in our culture, we've likened that barrier to be so big that we've started actually disempowering the realm of faith that you can actually have to release over somebody else. What I mean is this. Jesus didn't look at the faith of the paralyzed man, right, to say, sons, your sins are forgiven, take your mat and walk. He looked at the faith of the four people who lowered the mat. I would like to propose to you that you could be praying for someone who has absolutely no faith for the miracle, but you could be the one person who has faith for it. And am I going to let someone else's faith dictate the reality of what I want to believe? Does that make sense? If, hypothetically speaking, if this paralyzed man had no faith, we actually have no clue, right? We would actually assume, it looks like here, that the four people who lowered the person down the mat didn't let his faith be contingent on what they chose to believe. Up enough so that Jesus chose not to look at the paralyzed man's faith. He actually chose to see the friends, or actually the stranger, or the people who lowered him down. Your faith is incredibly powerful. And even to the friend right next to you, even if they didn't have faith to see the breakthrough that they want to see, it could be that it's very much your faith that could be the thing that activates the miraculous. Okay, a lot of the times we end up saying like, oh, if there's enough faith in the room, you know, then like maybe we'll go ahead and pray for this miracle. God doesn't really need that much faith, right? He says if you just have the faith of a mustard seed, you can tell a mountain move from here to there and it'll move from here to there. I'm not, and guess what? I'm going to say this. Maybe you're the person who wants a miracle. It's okay if you don't have faith for that miracle. Okay, someone else could have faith for that miracle. In fact, God, Jesus could have faith for that miracle to make it happen. And so that's what I want to share as my first point, is your faith is so powerful. Faith is so potent in the room. It doesn't rest on whether or not someone in front of you has faith for that miracle or not. It doesn't rest on whether you have faith for the miracle or not. I'm going to say this too, in light of all the recent stuff. It doesn't rest on whether, you know, the lead pastor of a church, whether the forerunners of a movement have faith or not for a miracle. Does that make sense? Jesus didn't look at the Pharisees and said, your faith led to this man being healed. He just saw people who were willing to say yes to help a brother out. And that was enough for him to constitute something that amazed every single person in this room. We had a friend come in once, and she had like a knee problem, and she was running late because her knee was aggravating her. So we were at the student center. This was when I was a minister back at UC Irvine. I mean, we still do ministry back at UCI, but this was like years ago with our prior ministry. And I remember we prayed for this woman. Hey, like, you know, in Jesus' name, we just speak to this knee, just be healed right now. And we were like, hey, could you like test it out? And she's like, you know, guys, thank you so much. You know, it's been going on for a while. I don't think it's healed. And so she starts bending her knees up and down, like, see, guys? And she goes like, wait a minute. And she was like, she was like, it's healed. And then she starts crying, it's healed. You know, she's healed. And she goes, I hate crying in front of people. You know, I really try not to be vulnerable like this, but it's been aggravating me my whole life. And so she's like crying. And she's like, I really didn't want to do this. Like, you know, it's like, why did you pray for me now? But we were just like, hey, Jesus loves you. And it was like such a divine moment. It was amazing. But that was the thing, is like, she had no faith for that miracle, but it still happened. You know what I mean? She had no faith for it, but her faith was enough just to try it out. Even so, we have another one of our leaders, Andre. He has this awesome story, and you know, him and his brother are able to kind of tag team to get the fullness of the testimony here. But just a super long story short, you know, his dad was a, I think he was working towards, or he was like a priest at one point in time, right? And then kind of went a whole different way, became like a politician. Long story short, you know, his family here, they're estranged. So I'm not going to go into the details of that. But all to say is there's this one point in time where there's two miracles. I'll share the other one later on because I think that that's also really important. But recently, Andre just felt like it was in his heart to pray for his father. And so it was like, what, 4:30 or something like that? It was 5:30 in the day, right? So he starts praying for his father. And so what ends up happening is Gerard finds out from his dad later on that around that same time, his father, who's, you know, much older, like had fallen and injured himself. And it was a pretty serious fall for someone who's that old. And for some reason, some unexplainable reason, even though he fell, he survived. And like, this isn't the first time that stuff like that has happened. And they're like, how in the world is it that like you're this old, you fell, and like you've survived this fall? And so Gerard's doing follow-up with his dad about that. And basically the dad ends up going like, they find out like actually it was the exact same time that Andre had prayed for his father. And basically the dad ends up saying like, you know what? I'm alive right now because Andre prays for me. Yeah, isn't that awesome, you guys? Can we give a round of applause right there? My point being that you could be somebody who doesn't believe in God anymore, or someone who actually, yeah, who doesn't believe that God exists, but guess what? That miracle doesn't have to be contingent on that person's faith, okay? Because this is about a reality of the kingdom of heaven. Does that make sense? This is about ushering the love of Jesus from heaven onto earth. And that love of Jesus isn't some sort of concept. It's not some sort of philosophical statement. It's not some sort of, if you pray it, maybe something happens that I just don't understand. And actually, it's true. When we pray, there's so many things I just don't understand. But the reality is that there is a heavenly realm. There is a love on the cross. And it does give us access to the impossible. Okay? It's not that it's stuff that we're going to explain later because our science isn't advanced yet. It's stuff actually happens. It's that Andre's reality of who God is isn't contingent on other people's faith. It doesn't really matter if you don't have faith for this miracle. It doesn't even matter if you simply believe God doesn't exist. Okay? It's that, no, God does exist. That's the fact. So the moment I pray, I need to recognize that reality, because that reality has the ability, if I have a heart for my father, I'm going to pray for him for that miracle, regardless of whether he believes in it or not. I'm not going to allow someone else's faith be contingent on whether I can partner for the miracle in front of me. Does that make sense? So first thing I want to just share, your faith is powerful. We're going to keep going. I want to talk a little bit about what the Pharisees also say. And so if you turn with me into verse 8, and verse 8 says this. It says, immediately Jesus, so, you know, lower the mat, sons and sins are forgiven. Pharisees get really upset about it. And it says, immediately Jesus knew in his spirit that this was what they were thinking in their hearts. And he said to them, why are you thinking these things? Which is easier to say to this paralyzed man, your sins are forgiven, or to say, get up, take your mat and walk? But I want you to know that the Son of Man has authority on earth to forgive sins. So he said to the man, I tell you, get up, take your mat and go home. He got up, took his mat, walked out in full view of them all. This amazed everyone, and they praised God, saying, we have never seen anything like this. I know you guys have been talking about surrender, serve, and shine as sort of your guys' three things. So here's a great example of shining, where everyone's like amazed. We've never seen anything like this. Now, the Pharisees are hung up on this one concept. Who in the world has authority to forgive sins? And I want you to know that this is a very unprecedented moment where Jesus says, son, your sins are forgiven. Because up until now, all that the Pharisees know are a group of prophets. You know, you have like Moses, you have Elijah, you have Elisha, you have Micah, you have all of these people, Malachi, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. But all of them, they've seen miraculous works happen, right? People resurrected, you've seen miracles, all this other stuff. But never before have they seen a prophet be able to pardon sin. And so they're thinking, what in the world is this? No prophetic figure ever in this world has the ability to pardon sin. Obviously, Jesus says, I want you to know that the Son of Man has authority to forgive sins. So he's stepping in going, you know what? You're right. And that's because I'm not just a prophet. The only way I have the authority to forgive sins right now is because I simply am the Son of Man. Does that make sense? Jesus needs to establish this. And so the Pharisees are going like, no way. Like from all of the tradition that we know, like people can only prophesy, do miracles, all this other stuff. Who can pardon, forgive sins? And all of a sudden Jesus goes, yes, actually I do. Because that's the authority that I carry. Now, there's one more thing that's important to recognize with this sort of paradigm. Jesus, we can recognize that he can heal, right? Clearly, take up your mat and walk, and they do that. This is really important because I do think that he wants to recognize what's going on in the spirit more so than what's going on in the physical. They are tied, though, and I'm going to talk about that in a little moment. But the other reason why I kind of want to bring this up is because Jesus also gives us the authority to partner with him to advance the gospel in such a way that these things are made manifest in our lives. So believe it or not, this, you know, Jesus also tells us, authority is given unto me. He says, go make disciples of all nations. How many of you guys have heard that before? How many of you guys have also heard he said, go heal the sick and go cast out demons, right? We've heard that before. So we know that we're called to heal the sick and cast out demons. How many of you guys also know that in John 20, verse 23, he also says that I've also called you to pardon sins? And he goes, anyone who forgives sins, they will be forgiven. And if anyone who doesn't forgive sins, they won't. Okay? So simple as that. To clarify this so you guys understand how this actually works. The sins that you forgive, they will be forgiven. They will be forgiven in the Greek is passive language. What that means is that like there's something that happens to it. It's not the active agent. And the reason why that's really important is because you're not actually the person who pardons sins. Okay? Jesus is the one who actually pardons sins. And so why does Jesus say it in that way? Because he's saying, guess what? I want you to recognize that forgiveness has a spiritual component to it. That forgiveness is, like, everyone wants to pray for healing, for miracles. Guess what? Forgiveness is just as powerful. It could be more powerful. And you're not the one pardoning sins. Hey, I hate to say this to you guys. Like, when we pray healing, like, I'm not healing you. Jesus is the one healing you. Does that make sense? Okay, so I want you to know that all of this stuff isn't anything new. Jesus gave us authority to partner with him to invite forgiveness into the room so that we can usher in his forgiveness. Does that make sense? So one of the reasons why this is so important is not only is Jesus trying to show you he has the authority to partner to do the works of the Father and to forgive sins, he's also wanting to show that to say, hey, I'm trying to model something. Because later on, when I resurrect, I'm going to tell you the authority that you carry to partner with me. So I want you to pay attention. I'm not telling you that you're going to be the person that pardons sins because only I can redeem a man's life. But I want you to know that I don't take forgiveness lightly. And that your forgiveness over a situation has the ability to usher something amazing in people's lives. In fact, you know, one of the first times that Andre actually prayed for his father, okay, he actually just straight up, he phone calls his dad after prayer and much conviction. This was a while ago. And he says, Father, I forgive you. I mean, he doesn't say it that formally, but he says that to that measure. You know, like, Dad, I just phone call to let you know that I forgive you. Later on, and this was like when Andre was younger, later on, he finds out from other people that when he had told his father that his father was actually on his deathbed. That's why, you know, there's been multiple times that he's almost died. And so he was supposed to die, but for some reason he ended up living. And that was the first time that the father started thinking, oh, there's something here where Andre prays for me. He, you know, something shifted. But guess what? That took place because Andre said, I want you to know I forgive you. There's a component of forgiveness that actually forgiveness, healing the sick, casting out demons, those are rights that we have that we actually get to walk out of. And they're the ability to say, when I actually operate in forgiveness, that means I'm actually releasing the authority that some sort of incident has over my life. In fact, that you know, when something has authority over that, it's basically a form of idolatry. It's saying I'm choosing to allow the spirit, my spirit, to be more free so it can overtake the circumstance and the physical. And so forgiveness has an incredibly powerful spiritual component to it. And that's actually why I believe Jesus wants to demonstrate this. I have the authority to forgive sins. So that you guys may know, forgiveness is such an important thing. I want us to walk out the economy of what kingdom forgiveness looks like. And so he wants to model this for us to walk through it. And there's one more thing I do want to bring up. And it's, well, what's the, so we saw right now what he's trying to tell the Pharisees through this healing. We saw what he wanted to show the friends who lowered the person down on the mat. What about this person that's right in front of him, the paralyzed man? Now, it says here, right, in verse 4, since they could not get him to Jesus because of the crowd, they made an opening in the roof above Jesus. By digging through it, they lowered the mat the man was lying on. When Jesus saw their faith, he said to the paralyzed man, son, your sins are forgiven, right? Then he ends up talking to the Pharisees. What's harder to say, son, your sins are forgiven, or take up your mat and walk? He does that whole explanation, and then he says, take up your mat and walk. The guy takes up his mat and walks in front of everybody, and everybody's amazed. So this guy gets to shine. Why? Because he just obeyed Jesus. He didn't really do much. All he did was just take up his mat and walk. Granted, that's like really incredible because he was paralyzed. But you know what I mean? But all he did was just say yes to Jesus. So guys, shining doesn't take much. Shining just means saying yes to Jesus in whatever we're doing. Hey, God says, you know what? Spend time in the Word. Yes, Jesus. Guess what? I'm shining. Does that make sense? Shining is really just a yes. Now, one thing that's really important, this is kind of where I'm trying to take us to into in regards to, I think, something really profound, and I feel like this is something I feel like the Lord wants us to walk into. Two things that were spoken to him. Right? The first one, son, your sins are forgiven. We recognize that the Lord wants to empower this man's spirit by addressing this realm of sin, right? And by doing so, he empowers the spirit in such a measure that now it starts overtaking the circumstances around him, even the doubts of the Pharisees, that this man now hears the command of Jesus, take up your mat and walk. He takes it up and he walks. And so we see also a miracle that takes place, that he takes his mat and walks. But there's one more thing I want to let you guys know that precedes all of this stuff right in the get-go. And it's this very bottom line, son, your sins are forgiven. This is the first time in the gospel accounts, because Mark is actually the first gospel account that was released, but this is the first time in Mark, this is the first time that we actually see Jesus call someone son. Son, your sins are forgiven. What's really interesting, how many of you guys can believe with me here? Jesus saw this man as a son before any sins were forgiven. How Jesus sees you precedes anything that you've done before. It precedes it so much so that even just with a little bit of activation of faith, right away, first thing that comes out is your identity. Your sonship comes out. Jesus wants you to know before anything you've done, before any encounter I'm about to have before you, the one thing I need you to know is I am addressing you as my son. Your identity before Jesus precedes almost any of this stuff. In fact, the language of the kingdom revolves around identity and purpose. And so no wonder that Jesus, first thing he wants to say is he wants to call you son. He wants to call you daughter. Because he's going, what I'm about to do, it comes from the identity that I see inside of you. An identity that maybe you don't see inside of yourself, but it's an identity that I've seen inside of you this whole time. The reason why I think this is important is because what whatever is birthed out of the move of God, whether it's a miracle, a breakthrough, whether it's deliverance, whether it's forgiveness, it all comes from the very fact that Jesus had loved you in the first place and that he sees you as a son or a daughter. He sees you as a child. And from that identity, everything gets birthed. We do things from identity, not for identity. Does that make sense? Now, again, you know how I was sharing one of the biggest challenges of the realm of faith right now is we sort of disempowered it? I want to propose to you that perhaps we've disempowered the power of identity as well. I want you to think of this. Jesus calls this man's son first and then releases the power of forgiveness. Has this whole talk with the Pharisees and then says, take up your mat and walk, and this guy walks. And I want to be careful with the realm of healing because in reality, this is a relationship. So I don't want to put any formulas on like what's required, what's not required, all that other stuff. But the one thing I can tell you, all right, is that Jesus wants you to know how he sees you first before anything else. And he doesn't see you as, you know, it says in 2 Corinthians 5:21, he who knew no sin became sin for us so that through him we might become the righteousness of God. So because of the cross, he doesn't see you as unrighteous. He sees you as actually the righteousness of God. He says, you might become that. And that's what I see you. I see you as a child of God. And so out of that, he wants to minister to your heart right now. He wants to minister miracles before you. The reason why that's so important, how many of you guys have ever heard the concept that you're a child of God? Yeah? How many of you guys are hearing this for the first time? I want you to do this. I want you to put your hands on your hearts right now. Lord, I want to recognize that you call us son, that you call us daughter, that you call us beloved. This is probably the most important revelation that we can release right now. Just like because in John 1:12 it says, for those who believe, for those who receive my name, I've given them the right to become children of God, children born not of natural descent, human decision, or husband's will, but children born of God. And so, Lord, we just want to soak in the fact that we are a child of God, that we're absolutely beloved right now in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Okay. Jesus. Man, how many of you guys felt something there? Just by soaking in with that one revelation, right? Yeah, yeah. That's so important. And the reason why I want to share that is being a son preceded the power of forgiveness, preceded these miracles, and he did so in light of the sonship. What I mean is this, is if we can recognize that we're sons already, and I think all of us kind of know that, what if I was to tell you your miracle's already existing? Does that make sense? God calls you son first, calls you daughter first, and I'm thinking like, man, why haven't I seen a miracle yet? Guess what? If this identity is real inside of us, that means a miracle's already been birthed. Does that make sense? When I was with my previous ministry, I was like fundraising, and it was like absolutely terrifying, and because I had to fundraise like $40,000 in like 3 months, and this was like back in what 2009. So I'm thinking there's a recession, there's all this other stuff. How in the world am I gonna do this, right? And so I'm like praying to the Lord, and I remember the Lord gave me this promise, Genesis 22:8, and it says, it's when Isaac talks to Abraham and like, where's the lamb, right? And for those who don't know, Abraham is tested sacrificing Isaac, but the Lord intervenes going, oh, here's your heart. Thank you for your heart. Here's the lamb. I'm totally just making it super short, so I'm butchering the story itself. But there's a verse in verse 22:8 where Abraham responds and he says, God himself will provide the lamb for the sacrifice. And so I remember thinking that, I'm like, Lord, I recognize who I am before you. And somehow, you yourself are going to provide the lamb that's needed for the sacrifice that I'm about to walk through. Does that make sense? God himself is going to provide for the funding that I need. And so I'm praying into that. And I remember one of the first donors that I ever talked to. And we're sitting down. I'm chatting with him. I chatted with him in March. This is now like July. And when I chatted with him, he was like, he told me, he's like, hey, I'm going to tell you the truth right now. When you talked with me in March, I was going through a really hard time financially. He's like, I barely had food to even put on the table. So when you told me that you were about to go on staff with this missions organization, you're going to fundraise, he's like, he thought to himself, like, there's no way I'm going to give to this kid. Right? Yeah, I'm thinking like, wow, this is very confident. Thanks for this testimony. And then he ends up saying, but after that, something really weird happened. My business turned around during the course of those 3 months. And he goes, for some reason, from March until June, my business turned around all the way to the point that not only could I put food on the table for my family now, I started asking the question, Lord, I actually need to start giving. Who should I give to? And it was around that time that I called him a second time to follow up. You know, I was like, hey, and he goes, oh yeah, I do remember we had that conversation. Okay, so he kind of like, you know, drops, he kind of tells me how much he wants to fundraise. I'm like, wow, and I'm so excited because this is my first donor. And right afterwards, right before he goes to his car, he goes, Walter, I just want you to know this. He goes, if God could turn my whole business around just to support your ministry, he's probably already turning other people's businesses around so they can support you too. He was like, the money's already out there. You just need to find it. God himself will provide a lamb for the sacrifice. And this is why I'm saying this. If I recognize who I am in Christ already, if I recognize that he loves me, the miracle is actually already out there. I just need to find it. What if I was to tell you right now that there's people who are already working, there's angels that are already working, there's circumstances that are actually working towards your favor because you are a son and you're a daughter of the Most High King. So it's not a matter of, like, faith in this case doesn't necessarily look like, oh, like, you know, it's a circumstance and it has authority over me and all this other stuff. It's like, actually, no, that authority has already been disempowered. Okay, because I'm a son of the Most High King, I can carry and walk on authority that says, no, that circumstance actually needs to bow to me. In fact, angels and circumstances are already working in my favor because that breakthrough is already out there. I just need to find it. And so, guys, I want to invite us. I know some of us are contending for the impossible. And I want you to know God has that impossible. He has it in his hand. He's working it towards our favor. And right now it's a matter of, I want to hold on to who I believe I am before Jesus. I want to invite my team to come up for a few moments. And we're going to just take a moment just to spend some time listening to the Holy Spirit. And I love the idea of sowing identity into people. And so is that okay, you guys? Does this sound good? Awesome. Awesome. So I'm going to go ahead and pray for us, and then I'm going to hand the microphone out to them. I want to just be transparent and honest because I know a lot of stuff is going on. I'm not ashamed of this idea that we disciple people into the impossible. So with that said, sometimes prophesying over a crowd can feel really large. And so what some of these folks have is they do have index cards with them. Part of the reason why, okay, if you don't know them, they don't know you. All right, we don't have any AI technology that can recognize your face, that can pull up your social security numbers, and that can pull up social media that fast. All right, so what they wrote down were just a bunch of images, and they're going to ask the Holy Spirit who they're for. Does that make sense? And so, Jesus, I just want to bless our community, our friends here. I want to bless everyone here in Catalyst. Whatever's of you, may it resonate. Whatever's not of you, may it fall to the ground. But, Lord, we just want to thank you, Jesus, for this time in this ministry. And, Lord, what do you have for our friends here? In Jesus' name.
Do you guys have anything? If not, I can start. Okay, I'll start. All right, my first word is for him in the jean jacket wearing glasses. You, yeah. Well, what's your name? Andrew. Hey, Andrew. My name's Andre. Nice to meet you. But the word that I got for you, the Lord told me to just encourage you and tell you that you are a courageous man, that you have courage. You're a man of courage. He told me that, similar to how the angel greeted Gideon, lo, mighty warrior, the Lord has just told me to tell you that you are a mighty warrior. That is your identity in him. You are a mighty warrior. And then what was just so highlighted about you, Andrew, was the story of Peter as he tried to walk on water. Oftentimes people talk about, like, oh, like he became scared and he started sinking when the Lord called him up. nobody really talks about the fact that he was the one who stepped out of the water and asked the Lord, can I walk on water too? You have the courage, the Lord is telling me, I believe so, that you're able to ask him, Father, can I walk the water too? Can I make that extra step? And we know that Peter is a rock of the church, and so he's called you to be a rock in Jesus' name, and I just want to encourage you with that. Andrew, you are a courageous man, a courageous man. Yeah. You guys have anything? Okay.
Hi, what was your name?
Yes.
Hi, Christina. So I got this word. I don't have the index cards, so I came in late. But I just got this image of you. It's like sandy, and you're brushing and blowing this sand off. And you're kind of in this area, almost like you're looking for a fossil. But you end up finding this great design that's just on the floor that kind of shows a purpose. And I feel like God is telling you to keep blowing off that sand right now, and you keep working towards that, and he's got a beautiful design right under that sand that as you keep going, you're going to keep seeing that vision that he has for you, and it's so grand, it's so big, you can't even imagine. Like, you know, when someone finds a dinosaur down there, they're like, what in the world is a dinosaur, you know? But you're seeing that same exact wonder. As you blow off that sand, there's just this design, there's this purpose for you that he has, and he said, keep blowing, and I'm going to keep showing you, and then once it's gone, you're going to see everything that I've built for you.
So yeah, yesterday I was spending my alone time with God and Jesus, and he highlighted me a word, and it's a French word, fleur. I don't know if you guys know what that means, but it means flower, blossom, or bloom. And today he wanted me to share this message with someone, and the person he highlighted to me was with the gray or white jacket with glasses and a bag, fourth row. With the glasses and and he just hired me to you, and I just feel like he wants me to tell you that even if it doesn't feel like it, God is working in you. And who likes to receive flowers, right? Yeah. And I just feel like God is working in you. He's giving you those flowers, those spirit, the fruits of the Spirit. He has given those to you, even if it doesn't feel like it. And he thanks you that you keep going to him repeatedly and going to him for his love and for just comfort, for support, to grow your faith. And I just want to pray that over you, that just thank you, Jesus, that you're able to gift her spiritually, gift her with growing her faith. And just thank you, God. And then, thank you. And then a second image that I got was a bridge, and the person he added with me too was the one with the blue hoodie, second row. Yeah. And do you have a background in engineering or STEM? No. Okay. Wait, what's your name?
Todd.
Nice to meet you. I'm Rebecca. And so with this bridge and in engineering, you know, it takes a while for a bridge to be built, and it's hard. It's a lot of manual labor. But with that, in the long run, there's so much, it's really beneficial since people are able to cross, go from point A to point B. And I just feel like right now, you may be going through something tough or something that has just stayed a long time, but in the long run, the gifts are so beneficial. God is working in you that he just wants you to look in the long run, where he's just blessing you with whatever you may be going through. He's blessing you in the long run, and I just want you, I just right now like I just want to tell you that Jesus loves you. He loves you as a son, as a child of God, and I just want to bless you with that. Amen.
So I have a word for the person in the orange jacket. Sorry, yeah, right there. So I saw you were playing golf, and it was it was a really hard course. Because we were playing Wii Golf a couple of days ago, and it was we played the expert one. There's islands that you had to hit it on and stuff. So I saw you playing that, and I feel like what I got from this was that you're going to hit the right hole. God's going to show you where to hit it exactly. And once, like, you're going to hit a hole in one, strike gold in spirit.
So I have a word for the person in blue in the fourth row.
Him?
Yeah. What's your name?
Sean.
Okay, so I saw a building made out of steel beams that was stacked up, but it was just the outline. And I saw you as, like, the base of the steel beam, like the one supporting everything up. And I feel like God is supporting you and he's got your back, but also you're also supporting other people so that they could go on and become Christians.
Yeah, man. Awesome. Thank you, Ali. Yeah, Sean, right? My the word that I wrote here was for you during worship. You were highlighted too. Do you happen to know who Donatello is from Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles? Yeah, okay. Woo. I was like, man, am I getting older? Okay, so Donatello, one of the cool things about his character is that he's the smart guy, the creative one, you know? And I just saw the Lord was saying, Sean, that you have creativity when it comes to solving problems. So I don't know if that resonates. So I kind of want to add that on to, like, I think with what Oliver was sharing with the structure of the building, you know, being creative enough to make something out of steel beams to rise a big building, that's a hard problem to solve, you know? But the Lord is saying that you can solve that because you are a creative person, a creative son of his, you know, and so you have that creativity similar to Donatello. I don't know if you use bow staffs, but that's probably an aside. Just want to encourage you with that. Do we stop one time? 30 seconds, okay. There's a guy all the way in the corner. Yes, you. What was your name? Weston, yeah. I was, like, looking around, and you were just, like really highlighted. I'm sure you've probably seen, like, the Captain America movies. I can do this all day. You're someone, I don't know if this resonates with you, but the Lord is saying that you carry, like, an extraordinary level of perseverance, that you can do this all day, you know? And, like, you see things, you come across things, and the Lord is just saying, yeah, that is my son who can do this all day, you know? And the Lord will equip you, not just that, but I know it's just like, oh, it's like perseverance, like impatience, the Bible calls that long-suffering, but the Lord will bless you in that as well, you know, that there will be gifts surrounding you, you know, time of rest, time of opportunity, but I just saw that your perseverance was just so highlighted that you could just do this all day, so just be Captain America over you in Jesus' name.
Yeah. Thanks, Andre. Okay, I want to do one more just really quick word, and I want to just give the mic to my wife really quick. You know, it's like it's often that I think moms don't often get to go on stage because they're busy with their little ones. So I just want to empower her just really briefly with this moment.
Yeah. Thank you. Hi, I had a dream of a lady getting her back healed. It's a lower left back. And I don't know if it's like a metaphor or something like that, but I wanted to ask if anybody needed their back healed and to release that healing. Yes. Oh, what's your name? Andy. Okay. And where does it hurt? Or the lower back? Okay. Awesome. Well, Jesus, I thank you for Andy. And I just, in Jesus' name, release healing over her. We pour the blood of Jesus over her because you died so that we could be aligned with you and fully healed and fully restored. So Jesus, we thank you. We thank you. We command full alignment, full healing, any pain to go away, anything that is gone to be restored. Yes, all sick things be gone. We thank you, Jesus. Do you want to test it out? Are you able to? Or you don't know? I don't know if it was hurting before, and then. Oh. You don't have to. Over time, yes. Well, thank you, Lord. We do release full healing, and we know that you have your hand on Andy. I also felt like it was a word for alignment over just the church, and I just thank you, God, that you're aligning us with your spirit. You're aligning us with your promises, and I feel like there's full alignment as well for those who have been waiting, you know, patiently and persevering for things to come to fruition in their life, right? We know that a lot of following Jesus is waiting and persevering, and knowing that he has good things in store, even when we go through the hard times. So Jesus, we thank you that you're bringing things to fruition and that we will see your promises come alive in Jesus' name.
Amen. Let's give a round of applause for everybody. Thanks, you guys. Oh, yeah. So what we're going to do is I think we're going to close the service. Well, not close it. I think this is where my time is done. But I just want to just throw this out here is like, and I'll be discerning with Pastor Ross a little bit about this, but as the worship team kind of comes and they close, I think that's the plan. Yeah. I want to do this is I want to partner, like, guys, this isn't necessarily about whether, oh, the miracles happen to me or not. They happen to all of us. And what I mean is, like, because we're children of the Most High King, it's a matter of finding them. So I want to invite us, like, as we do this ministry time, we'll have our folks up here. This isn't about, like, just receiving prayer. This is about, you know what? I want to be on a journey to find my miracle. I want to figure out what God's perspective is. And so whether it's us, whether it's the Catalyst prayer team, whether it's your person right next to you, I want to invite you to just ask the Holy Spirit, how am I called to find a thing that I want to look for? The breakthrough that's already there. And so, Holy Spirit, I just want to thank you, God, for this time. I want to thank you. I just want to just invite people, Lord Jesus, let's go find our miracle together. Let's go find what you've already done. Let's go find the fact that you already love us, so everything's already set. That means the solution's already there. And so we just release that right now. In Jesus' name, amen.